This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جماعة المسلمين I hope alhamdulillah you are well that you have enjoyed the time off for those of you who have had an opportunity to get some rest and I make dua, inshallah, that you go back to work only late in the new year. Alhamdulillah, Jamaat al-Muslimin, as you know, that we have just come past Christmas, the 25th of December, and there are certain aspects and elements regarding Christmas that we need to discuss. I know some of you may be thinking that Christmas is done, Sheikh, we need to talk about the new year now. But inshallah, sometimes it is better that we look back at something that has gone past, and it gives us better insight and draw certain wisdoms which we take to implement, inshallah, in the new year. As we know that Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Nabi Isa according to the Christians, the birth of Jesus according to what they believe. And of course, there are certain elements and aspects to Christmas which we as Muslims, we know it goes against our aqidah, goes against our belief. And we need to discuss these things. And very importantly for us as Muslims living in a non-Muslim country, surrounded by our Christian friends and neighbors, also in a country which has been very good to us, we learn the adab, and as Muslims, how we learn and take lessons from the event of Christmas, and how we should respond in a very wise and a very full of hikmah and wisdom, inshallah. But before we begin, we want to remind ourselves about the wonderful respect that our deen, Islam, gives to Christianity, to all non-Muslims and to all religions. Islam says there is no compulsion in religion. And whatever you wish to follow, ultimately we give you the da'wah, we ask you, we warn you, we give you the message. If you reject it, you are free to live. This is how Islam works. Not what we see on the news that, you know, Muslims forced people into religion. That's not Islam. That is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even more than that, Islam gives a very special respect to Christianity. And these are points that we should take and tell our friends and our neighbors. This is the important aspects that we should tell our friends and neighbors that are Christians. That, you know, you don't understand our religion. You only take your understanding of Islam from CNN and BBC. This is what Islam says about Christianity. And this will open and soften their hearts and turn them to Islam, insha'Allah. The first thing that we mention is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the belief in Nabi Isa a condition to be a Muslim. You cannot be. We know this, that you have to believe. Of the pillars of Iman is you need to believe in all the Anbiya, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of them, of course, is Nabi Isa alayhi salam. That you cannot be a Muslim if you do not love him, support him, believe in him. If he is insulted, it is your duty as a Muslim. Even if the Christians are silent, it is the duty of the Muslims to stand up and defend him. If, for example, and we, inshallah, you know, wa'iyadu billah, that people do the same thing they did to our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, drawing pictures, and the Christians, some of them do this, it is our duty as an ummah to support him and defend him and say, this is what you're doing is wrong. He is our Nabi as well. Not only do we confirm that he is a messenger and of the greatest of people, we also affirm that he is of the greatest of the Anbiya. Amongst the messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored some above the others. We know right on top, alhamdulillah, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But of the five greatest anbiya, Nabi Isa is amongst them. And he's of the greatest men to walk this earth. And we also believe that he is the Messiah, the one who Allah has anointed. A Messiah comes from masḥ, to wipe, to be wiped. And by this, what in the Jewish, if you study Hebrew, it refers to being wiped with oil, being anointed, being selected. It's a symbol of being selected. That we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Nabi Isa, even above Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to return towards the end of times, to defeat the Antichrist, and to bring justice and peace to this world. And even the Muslimin of that time will follow him. It is our duty as Muslims, we believe this. This is what we believe. And we believe furthermore in his miraculous birth. He was born without a father. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, kun fayakun, be, and he was. That he had no father, and his mother was free of what the Yahud, may Allah protect us from that, what they say about him and his mother. We alhamdulillah, subhanallah, we honor and praise the mother of Nabi Isa, to a degree which is even above that of the Christians. In the Quran, you will find no woman, the name of the only woman whose name is mentioned in the Quran is Maryam, the mother of Nabi Isa. You won't find Khadija or Aisha or Fatima in the Quran. You won't find the daughters and the wives of the Prophet, the mother of Nabi Muhammad ﷺ in the Quran, but you'll find the name of the mother of Nabi Isa alayhi salam in the Quran. In fact, not only that, an entire surah is named after her, Surah Maryam. In the Bible, you won't find chapter Mary. Subhanallah. So we tell our Christian friends and neighbors, do you know that this is what is in our Quran? You won't even find in the Bible the chapter named after her. We of course also affirm and believe that Nabi Isa performed such tremendous miracles and such amazing miracles by the permission of Allah, which even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, we translate it, that Allah says, and we made Nabi Isa alayhi salam a messenger to the children of Israel. Just a point to mention that Nabi Isa was sent to the Yahud, the Jews. Allah favored the Yahud so much that He sent them Musa and Dawood and Sulaiman and Anbiya, Nabi after Nabi, including Jesus. He was from the Bani Israel. He was sent to the Yahud, but they rejected him. And the non-Jewish people, they accepted him. A few of the Jews accepted, but the majority were what they called the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. The Bani Israel today, they don't accept Isa alayhi salam as a prophet. That's why we say, you know, our belief, Islam, is closer to you than the Jews even. They rejected him. And they say his mother, wa'iyadhu billah, if she wasn't married and she had a son, where did the son come from? A child of zina. This is what the Jews say. We say, oh Christian friends and neighbors, look what we are saying. We are saying that he was a messenger. We affirm a messenger to Bani Israel. And he will say, Nabi Isa will say, indeed I have come to you with a sign. Of his signs is that he created from, with Allah's permission, a bird made of clay. A statue or a bird made of clay, and he breathed into it and it became a bird alive with the permission of Allah. And that he could cure the blind and the leper, and he could even give life to the dead. Subhanallah. Even Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some of these reports, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had many miracles which we know of, which is perhaps we should study in depth, but of these miracles, great miracles of Nabi Isa, that not even Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given by the permission of Allah. So we affirm these great miracles of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Not only that, Islam, subhanallah, even honors Christians themselves. Islam, do we know that Islam even asks, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Muslimin to follow the example of the disciples of Nabi Isa. Allahu Akbar. To follow the example of the Christians who followed Nabi Isa alayhi salam. His sahaba, his companions that were around him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu ansar Allah. O you who believe, O Muslims, be supporters, helpers of Allah. كما قال عيسى بن مريم للحواريين من أنصاري إلى الله. As Nabi Isa asked his disciples, who of you are going to be the supporters of Allah? قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله. And then the disciples said, oh Isa, we will be the helpers of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, follow the example of the disciples of Nabi Isa. How much honor is Allah giving to the people of Nabi Isa? But not even that. Look at this beautiful ayah in Surah Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us something beautiful. Beautiful ayah. That Allah speaks about the disbelieving Christians, the Christians who believe in the Trinity and what they say about Him. Allah still praises them to a degree when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Al-Ma'idah, verse 82, the translation, we say, you will surely find the people most intense in animosity or hatred. Who are the people that hates the Muslims the most? Allah says, you will find those who have the most severe hatred to you are number one, the Jews. And we know this for a fact, history and the current affairs tells that you will find those who have the most adawah to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and your beliefs are the Yahud. And also those who make shirk, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, the worshippers of the idols. We know what the people of Mecca did to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah says, but you will find those nearest to you in affection to the believers are those who say we are Christians. Why? Because among them are priests and monks, and because they are not arrogant, that they are those who are humble and pious. Even though they have incorrect beliefs, and we ask Allah to guide them, inside they have hearts that want goodness and khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the closest people you will find in their love for Islam are the Christians. Where do we say that we should kill and destroy and harm and blow up the Christians? This is what Allah is saying in the Quran. We should take these ayat to our Christian friends and neighbors and tell them, this is what we say. This is what Islam is talking about in your religion. This is what how we praise your religion, how we praise your beliefs. But we must also say that what is correct and incorrect. We need to explain and defend Nabi Isa and say, what was the true teachings of Jesus alayhi salam? What was Nabi Isa? What did he say? In Surah Maryam, the surah we mentioned, there are many ayat regarding the story of Nabi Isa. And Nabi Isa says to his people, what did he say? He said, indeed, I am the servant of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. And he has made me blessed wherever I am and is enjoyed upon me. He's made me to make salah and zakah as long as I am alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his anbiya. They have to pay zakah and they have to make salah to follow the same. All of them are slaves unto Allah. Whether you are a king or a prophet or a slave, you are all servants unto Allah. And he says, he also instructed me to be dutiful to my mother. And he has not made me a tyrant, not made me an oppressor of people. And peace be upon me the day I was born and the day that I shall die and the day that I am raised alive, the day of Qiyamah. And Allah says that this is Jesus, the son of Mary, the word of truth about which they are in dispute. They are disputing about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells the Christians, it is not befitting for Allah to take a son. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanallah, he is free of taking a son. Exalted is he. When he decrees anything, he only says be and it is. He doesn't need to have a father, Nabi Isa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam without a mother or a father. And he created Nabi Isa without a father. And Nabi Isa will say, indeed Allah, he said to his people, Allah is my Lord and your Lord. So worship him. That is the straight path. This is the message of all the Anbiya, all the prophets, from Nabi Adam to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their Sharia was different. Maybe they made Salah different, they made Hajj different. But they came with one message of Islam, which was this. Allah is my Rabb, and He is your Rabb. He made you, He made me, He feeds me, He feeds you. When I die, I'm going to Him. When you die, you're going to Him. So worship Him. Why are you worshipping anyone besides Him? Why are you worshipping a grave or a stone or a statue? Why are you even worshipping me? I make dua to Allah. And the Christians themselves, and we'll see from the Bible, that Nabi Isa himself made dua, he made salah. So why are you worshipping me? Worship the one that gives all power, that gives, that has power over all things. This is the message, la ilaha illallah. This is the message of all the Anbiya, the message of Islam. And we see from the Bible, we confirm this, we say, and we take these messages to our Christian friends and neighbors and tell them that even your Bible affirms that Jesus was a slave of Allah. Jesus said in Luke, it is written down in the old scripture, in the Torah, and also what has been revealed to me. What is the commandment? Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. La ilaha illallah. Worship Allah alone. This is what Allah has sent me to bring. This is even after the Bible has been edited and changed. Some of the ayat are still there. Like this. Worship Allah. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him alone. And then in another, in Mark, one of the people came to Nabi Isa and said, what is of all the commandments, which is the most important? Tell me what is the most important thing I need to do. This is the most important thing. Jesus said, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, and listen, O people of Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. Kul huwallahu ahad. Say that your Lord is one. Love your Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Worship Him and Him alone. No trinity, no partnership with Allah, no shirk. So this is what Nabi Isa came. And as we mentioned in the next ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, the message that every single Nabi, the message that every Prophet, the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of Jesus, of Musa, may peace and blessings be upon them all. The message was this. And Allah says, and we, in translation, and we sent not before you any messenger except that we revealed to him that there is none, no deity except me, so worship me. This is what Islam is all about. What Christianity, the original Christianity, what Nabi Musa came, that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. Look to who you are worshipping. If you are worshipping any besides Allah, it's incorrect. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come for you to worship Him and Him alone. This was the message of Jesus. And we see from the Bible, it is what He Himself did. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask now, coming from Christmas, and coming from the beliefs of the Jew, the Christians, where has Christmas then come from? If the teachings of Nabi Isa alayhi salam was La ilaha illallah, then where do we get the story of the Trinity? Where do we get the story of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Where does this stuff come from? First of all, there is no mention in the Bible about Christmas. There is no Santa Claus. There is no 25th of December. There is no trees bringing in your house. There is no giving of presents or lights. You won't find the word Christmas in the Bible. Nothing is there in the Bible. In fact, the Christians will agree that Nabi Isa alayhi salam, they don't know when he was born. They don't know if he was born. In fact, they know for a fact he was not born on the 25th of December. They know he wasn't born on the 25th of December. Which day exactly? They don't know. Which year exactly? They don't know. The original calculation, they could only calculate when he was born many decades after Nabi Isa had left the dunya, and that calculation was incorrect. So where did the idea of Christmas come from? And again, we say this not as a means to belittle or insult our Christian friends and neighbors. No, these are facts that their ulama, the priests and the rabbi, or the priests and the monks, should tell their people. They should tell their own people these things, and we only take this to learn, to teach, to protect ourselves, and to be better as Muslims. And inshallah, if we can guide others, then we tell them what and this is the facts. You have, alhamdulillah, I believe Sheikh Yasin was here last week, he introduced you to Mufti Google. All these facts we can search online, you can check it. What is the origin of Christianity? Type it in, the origin of Christianity, Wikipedia is there. Not my words, not the Mufti, not the MJC, not any ulama. This is from the priests themselves, what they are saying. That Christianity came, that Christmas, when it came, when Christianity began to spread, the Roman Empire that was in charge at that time, they had, you know what they believed. They believed in Jupiter. They believed in the planets. They believed the gods had children and wives, and they killed one another and fought. This is the pagan Roman beliefs. Deep shirk. This is what they believed. Of the thing, they used to celebrate different planets at different times. For example, the time of spring, when winter was about to end, they celebrated Saturn. And they call this festival the celebration of Saturnalia. Why? Because as we know, it's summer year in South Africa. But to the north, in Rome, in Europe, in the Middle East, above the equator, it's winter now. That's why when we see Christmas on TV, it's snow. Because in the northern hemisphere, it's winter, while here in the south, it's summer. So they believe, the pagans of Europe, they believe, and the Romans, that winter, of course, was a time of evil. It is dark, it's cold, people became sick and they died. But when spring comes, it's life. That the Lord of spring and the god Saturn, who they used to worship in spring, this is towards the end of December, winter is now ending. You'll find the days become longer and the nights become shorter. The darkness is going away. And that is why they started putting trees in their houses, which will live long, Christmas trees. They used to have lights, candles, because the light is coming back. That's why we have Christmas lights. They used to give presents. And of the very disturbing things about this festival of the Saturnalia, you'll find that the laws were relaxed. They said now from the 17th of December until about the 21st of this, for a week or so, there are no laws. You can do what you want. You can sleep with whom you want and drink and have, go crazy. Things which were haram, which were illegal, was now made permissible. So when the Christians, when Christianity came, they said, you know, the people are very attached to these things. Let us include this in our religion and say that now that the winter, the evil is going, the birth of God has come. So we take their ideas, we incorporate it into our religion, and we will say, we don't celebrate the event of the Lord Saturn, we celebrate the birth of Lord Jesus now. They just substituted the name Saturn to Jesus. But we continue the same belief. We follow the same system and rituals. Subhanallah. If this is the essence of where your beliefs come from, we say that we are against pagan beliefs and pagan rituals, which even Nabi Isa alayhi salam was against. Did Nabi Isa celebrate Christmas? They'll say no. Did his disciples celebrate Christmas? They'll say no. Where did it come from? It came from pagan beliefs. And that is why we say that we should know as Muslims, but more importantly, the Christians themselves should know this. And then we even ask, where does the Trinity come from? Where does the concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a son, wa'iyadhu billah, we find that in the first council of Nicaea, there was a time when Christianity was weak. Then the emperor of Rome became Christian, and now he found Christians throughout the world, some in Egypt, some in Palestine, some in Rome. They all have different beliefs. Some say Nabi Isa, they were confused, as Allah mentions, they were confused. Some said Nabi Isa was a god. Some said, no, he was a prophet. And you had those in between who said he was not a normal man, but he wasn't a god. Some made shirk, they worshipped him. Some said, no, it's haram to worship him. So he called a council. 325 years after Nabi Isa, he called a council, which is called the First Council of Nicaea. And he said, now you ulama, you debate and you argue with one another, and we will support the winning vote. But because he himself was a pagan before this, he became a Christian, he agreed with those who spoke of the Trinity. That they supported that Nabi Isa was the son, wa'iyadu billah, of Allah, that he was part of Allah. So he supported this view, and the Trinity became the official doctrine of Christianity. There were those at that time who had correct belief. And as we know, in the history of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there were few Christians who still believed the correct Islam, the correct Christianity. But it was the church, it was the priests and the emperor who decided what should be correct, not based on the Bible. So this is where their beliefs come from. And as I said, I want you to Google, read up on the First Council of Nicaea. Read up on it, find out, and you will find the beauty of Islam. You'll find that everything that you have in Islam, it's not what the Sheikh says, or what the Mufti says, or what the President says. It's what the Quran and the Sunnah say. You can go back, if whatever madhab you follow, you open up, Imam Shafi will say, this is my view, based on this ayah, based on this hadith. Imam Abu Hanifa says, if you find anything which I say, which contradicts the Sunnah, which contradicts the Quran, then throw my opinion out the window. That is my madhab, is what is what in the Quran and the Sunnah. Allahu Akbar. Allah has preserved our deen, preserved this religion, so that everything we do is based on complete and perfect evidence. Alhamdulillah. And therefore we take certain important lessons, very powerful lessons we need to take regarding Christmas. We've seen where it comes from. We see how it was distorted and changed. We see that the origin of it has come from paganism and incorrect beliefs. The first most important lesson we need to say is we need the need for da'wah. We have been here, alhamdulillah, 300 years. We need to, inshallah, make sure that if we are here for another 300 years, this will be a Muslim country. Not for the purpose of overpowering and overthrowing and being in charge. No. We say we want for you what we want for ourselves. We want for you to follow the same religion which Nabi Isa came. Follow your prophet. And you will enter into Islam and you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberates you from pagan beliefs. He liberates you from being beneath anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Muslim armies came to Persia and they came to Rome, the emperors asked him, what has brought you Arabs out of your lands? Do you want money? Do you want wealth? Do you want women? Do you want lands? We give it to you. They said, no, we only came with one mission, to remove people from the worship of the creation to the worship of the Creator. Whatever is created, don't worship that. Worship the one who created everything. This is our mission. And what a beautiful message, that for each and every person, you can have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is so wrong with that? To say, why worship a stick or a stone or a grave or an idol or a Nabi or an angel when you can worship the Creator of all these things? What is more beautiful and more perfect? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when we have to interact with the Jews and the Christians, the people of the book, what should we do? Should we blow them up? Should we kill them? Should we cut their heads off? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. In Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, say, O people of the scripture, تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Come, you and us, come to an agreement. We come to a common ground. You have your views, we have our views. But let us agree on one thing between you and us, that we will not worship except Allah and not associate anything with Him and not take one another as lords instead of Allah. Come, we agree on this. You can dress how you want. Let's not talk about all those things. But let us agree on one thing, that La ilaha illallah. That you worship one Allah, I worship one Allah. There's only one Creator. We agree that there's only one Rabb. If you ask the Christian, how many creators are there? Who created the sun and the moon? They'll say, there's only one Creator. So why are you worshipping a prophet? Why are you worshipping Jesus and not Him? So we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises in a beautiful way to give da'wah. Let us agree on this, that there is La ilaha illallah, that none should be worshipped except Allah. But if they turn away, then we bear witness that we are Muslims, that we are the ones who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua, and I look to myself and we ask that, you know, the young generation, the new faces, come onto masajid committees and da'wah committees, bring new ideas using social media, using your intelligence. How do we get this message? We are unfortunately responsible for not giving the message over. We, alhamdulillah, have the pure, beautiful message of Islam. It only needs to be packaged and given it over. We just need to make the delivery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that His deen is powerful. That even in this time when Islam is down, the ummah of Islam is down, that the Muslimin are being oppressed all over the world. We have a campaign against us, but yet we see Islam spreading. Why? Because this deen is great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this deen to be powerful. Wherever it is, it will always be great. It's just for Muslimin to pick it up and say, we want to be part of the spirit of Islam. So a time we need to start, inshallah, you know, seriously thinking about how we're going to spread the message of Islam to our non-Muslim friends and neighbors in a beautiful way, in a way that will capture the hearts. This is what da'wah is all about. The second thing that we need to also bear in mind is that when we look at the different beliefs of the kuffar, we may think to ourselves that, you know, they have something beautiful, something nice. But when you really look at the essence, where it comes from, what is the basis of it, we realize that, you know, Islam is superior in every way. When we look at you know, Christmas, we may think, ah, you know, it's just a holiday. We want to send our children to sit on Santa Claus's lap. We want to have the lights. You know, we want to enjoying something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to enjoy the dunya, but there are limits. And we need to know that we have been instructed to be different to the disbelievers. Why? Otherwise, we will fall into the same trap as the Christians. They wanted to incorporate pagan beliefs. They said, you know, we want something good. Our niyyah is to bring the non-Christians into Christianity. So we take bits and pieces from their religion, but we know we are in charge. Over time, you find that which was true, God's disappeared, and only that which is evil remains. So subhanAllah, if we were to follow the same things and we say, let's leave a bit of Islam and take some of the, imitate our Christian friends and neighbors or the non-Muslims, we'll find we only damage Islam's image. We only take away from Islam. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith which warns us, he says, truly, the Muslimin, you shall follow the ways of those who were before you, bit by bit, span by span, until if they were to enter into a lizard's lair hole, you would follow them. We would follow them in everything, in the evil they do. And then the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, are you referring to the Jews and the Christians? And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who else besides them? And subhanAllah, we need to take, you know, be cognizant that there are certain things which we as Muslims have to say. We respect your religion, but we draw the line here. We won't insult you, but we will not engage in these things. Some may say, but we're living in a non-Muslim country. We need to show tolerance and intolerance. You know, we shouldn't be intolerant. We need to realize that while we try to please these people, how offensive is it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we say he has a son? Or that he has a partner, he has subhanAllah, he has taken a son. Wa'iyadu billah. In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this statement makes the heavens want to split open, and Allah wants to cause the earth to tear apart, and the mountains to fall in ruin, to say that he has a son. The creation is afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy it out of this statement. Something so offensive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be taken lightly. Therefore, in a beautiful way, with wisdom and hikmah, in a beautiful way, we say we refrain from these things that is contradictory to our beliefs as Muslims. But we will not engage in it. If you want to give your children presents, give them every day of the week. Give them Friday, you know, on the days of Eid, give them presents. Don't wait for Christmas. Don't let their hearts become attached to this time. That we say it's a holiday, we live in a country, we enjoy the holiday, free time, but this is not for us. We have our own celebrations and we have our own ways of expressing our happiness and days of family time. We don't engage in these actions. Why? The Nabi said so, and because it is something which is offensive to the deen. But more importantly than the da'wah, and more importantly than avoiding the imitation of the kuffar, what we need to be very scared of is we need to ask ourselves, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Christians a Nabi. One of the greatest Nabi, Anbiya's, he sent Nabi Isa alayhi salam. He sent him with a book. And they had Sahaba, the disciples who supported them. They started off very good. How is it that their religion became so corrupted and changed? What happened to these people? What mistakes have they made that has caused them to fall into, to completely fall out of the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And therefore we should ask, before we look at them, we look at ourselves and we say, are we maybe doing some of these things that they did? That wa'iyadu billah, in 20, 30, in a thousand years maybe, we find that Muslims say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son. How far away are we from this? You know, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he makes a dua. He says, Ya Allah, protect me and my family from ever worshipping idols. This is a Nabi. I mean, he's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, you know, even I know how easily it is to fall into shirk. How close am I or my children that we might fall into it? That, you know, you, alhamdulillah, as a parent, you might be safe. But how do you know that your children in 30, 40 years time, wa'iyadu billah, they may fall into the same sin, the same mistakes as the kuffar? So how do we learn? We first of all, we look at what were the mistakes of the Christians? How did they get to the Trinity? How did they get to all these incorrect beliefs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are two things that the Christians did that made them fall into this. Number one, they practiced on ignorance, which led them to misbelief. They didn't follow clear signs and ayat or adilla, but they did whatever they felt was correct. Ignorance. And secondly, they used exaggeration to beyond the levels. They praised and honored Nabi Isa to beyond the level, and they entered into kufr. And we see that, to elaborate this point, we see, subhanallah, every single day, 17 times a day, you make this dua in Surah Fatiha. The entire Surah Fatiha is a dua. The surah that we repeat every day, your salah, your raka'ah is not complete if you didn't recite Surah Fatiha. You make dhuhr, you need to recite it 4 times. If you've missed it, you have to go back and recite it. So what is the surah so powerful? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructing us to recite it all the time? It's a dua. And the part that we say, the thing that we only ask for one thing, we say, Ya Allah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Guide us to the path of those who you have blessed. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Don't let us follow the path of those who have incurred your anger. They are those who you have blessed, and they are those who you are angry with, and they are those, the dalin, those who have gone astray. We know those who have been blessed are the ones, as Allah says, as we mentioned in the previous ayah, that those who believe and follow and worship Allah alone. هذا صراط المستقيم. That those who worship Allah alone, this is the صراط المستقيم. But who are those who Allah is angry with? The مغضوب عليهم. Don't let us be like those who you are angry with, and the dalin. Who are they? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains that those who Allah is angry with are the Jews, and whoever followed the Jews. Why? Because they knew the truth and they deliberately rejected it. So anybody who knows the haqq, he knows what is right, but deliberately out of arrogance, like shaitan. Did he not know that there was an Allah? He knew there was an Allah, but out of kibr and pride, he refused, he disobeyed. So anyone who knows the truth, and that is why an alim, for example, who disobeys Allah, may Allah protect us, he's more severely punished. For those who know the truth and turn away, Allah is angry with these people. These are the Jews. This is the what they did in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and continue to do. But the dalin, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, are the Christians and those who follow them. Why? Because they followed a religion and based their religion without any evidence. They chop and change their religion. They want what is good. They try to do something which is good, but they follow their hawa. They follow whatever their priests and their rabbis come, and they don't ask which ayah, where did Allah say this? Where did Jesus say this? No, they just follow their emotion. They follow no logic and no thinking, no clear-cut evidence. Now we ask as Muslims, how many of us know our deen correctly? How many of us know what does the Quran say or the Sunnah say? How many of us are so close maybe to falling into this trap? And the only way is through knowledge. You cannot protect yourself from ignorance except through learning. There are many, alhamdulillah, classes going around in this masjid as well. You know, inshallah, not this Wednesday coming, the week after that, after Maghrib, we have a fundamentals class on the very basics of Islam. Attend if you can. Please come. Inshallah, it will be beneficial to you. Or wherever you are, ask your imam to teach you something about Islam. Because the Christians forgot about learning of their religion, that's how they fell into this. So you may be safe. What about your children? Do they know what is right from wrong? Do they know what Islam is all about? How easily would it be for them to be, wa'iyadu billah, falling into the same trap and falling into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us. This is the first and the most important thing, and we make dua every day in Surah Fatiha. We're asking Allah, let us not fall into the same trap. The second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Christians fell into was something called ghulu. Exaggeration, going beyond the limits in praise, going beyond the limits in honoring. You know, sometimes you praise someone and you say, you know, you are the best, everything is from you. If it was not for you, I'd fall into this, that you saved my life, you, the doctor. You've gone beyond the limits of praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you have to give the respect to someone what is owed to him. But don't take from that which belongs to Allah and give to somebody else. Now you've created a partner and an equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, powerful ayat, لَقَدَ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. That they who have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Messiah, the son of Mary, they have committed kufr. They are kafir. They are out of the fold. وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ اُعْبُدُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. But Nabi Isa said to his people, Bani Israel, I am the slave of Allah, worship Allah my Lord and your Lord. Worship Allah. This is what Nabi Isa said. And in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes further and he says, لَقَدَ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ الثَّلَاثَةِ. That those who have spoken the Trinity, that have said Allah is a third of Godship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divided into three, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost, they are all one. If you have said this, you have fallen into kufr. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا هُوَ وَاحِدٍ. That there is no ilah except Allah, one ilah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And in the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this and how bad it is. But to reach the end of our discussion, verse 77, we ask, how did the Christians get into the statement of the Trinity? How did they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. O people of the book, Jews and Christians, do not fall into exaggeration. Do not fall into what we call ghulu. Do not praise and honor and out of your love for Nabi Isa. You loved him, but you've praised him so much. You have first said that, you know, he's not just a prophet, he's the greatest of prophets. Then you have said, you know, he wasn't born like any other man. He must have come from the essence of Allah. He must have been part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he doesn't have a father, who is his father? Allah is his father. And then you said, you know, he brought people back from the dead. Only Allah can bring back people back from the dead. He must be divine. Step by step, they praised him to the level where they've made him an equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the danger of ghulu. So we need to ask ourselves in our community, do we have this as well? Is there a place and is there a situation where we praise whether the shiyukh, whether the awliya, whether the anbiya, whether Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the point where we take from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We need to be very, very wary about this and not let emotion get the better of us. You know, a man came to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, I will do this and that, insha'Allah wa inshi't. If Allah and you want. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very upset. He said, are you making me an equal with Allah? Say insha'Allah, it's enough. It is only Allah's will that will determine what will happen. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I have no power to benefit you or harm you. I don't have power to benefit myself even. I make dua, I make tawbah, I make salah. Even Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel, they make dua, they make tawbah to Allah, they make salah, sujood to Allah. If these are the greatest, Jibreel and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what about the imam or the awliya? Or, you know, these are things that, subhanallah, everyone comes to Allah in submission. So we need to be very, very careful that we do not take the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attach it to anyone besides Him. If you ask, ask Allah alone. If you need to turn to anyone, you have a personal, private line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A private, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I come down in the last third of the night looking for those who wish to ask of me so I may forgive them. Who wish to ask of me so I may give them. I want wealth, I want children, I want this woman, you know, I want to marry her, ya Allah. Allah will give it to you. Ask Him and Him alone. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from falling into the sins and the mistakes of the generation of old. Allah has preserved this deen and may we continue to preserve it in our time and strengthen the deen through us, inshallah, that our children will be better than us and that this deen will grow, that we give the message to our Christian friends and neighbors that inshallah, in very soon, that Islam will spread in this land. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
محمد رسول الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمد ربي ونستعينك ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك ونثني عليك الخير كله، نشكرك ولا نكفرك، ونخلع ونترك من يفجرك. اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله، أرسله هاديا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا، فصلوات الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، يا عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله، فقال جل جلاله: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين، آمين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم.
اللهم صل وسلم وجاهد وعلم وتفضل وبارك جلالك وكمالك على سيد عبادك وأشرف عبادك سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وصحبه وسلم. سلم ورضي الله تبارك وتعالى عن كل صحابة أجمعين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ولي للمتقين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله، سيد الأولين والآخرين، رحمة الله للعالمين، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فاتقوا الله واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله، واعلموا أن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، ألا وصلوا وسلموا على خير الورى والنبي المصطفى والحبيب المرتضى، كما أمر الله تعالى، فقال جل جلاله: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا. اللهم صل وسلم على هادي البشير وسراج المنير، نبي حبيب سيد الأولين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين، واجعل هذا بلدا آمنا وسائر البلاد المسلمين. اللهم اشفي مرضانا، اللهم اشفي مرضانا، اللهم اشفي مرضانا، وارحم موتانا، وأصلح أحوالنا وأحوال شبابنا. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وصوماليا وليبيا وسوريا وإيراق وأفغانستان وفي كل مكان، يا عزيز يا رحمن. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار، يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة.
قام الله وعده.
الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله،
لا إله إلا الله، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سوي صفوف رحمكم الله. استغفر الله. الله أكبر كبيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم،
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى. ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى. سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنب الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى. بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. ربنا الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. نستغفر الله، نستغفر الله، نستغفر الله، نستغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. ونتوب إليك ونسألك توبة والمغفرة، إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا.
المشي ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله إلا للعليم تمام بروس and sisters داس الجنازة the promise was coming out as Buniba Majid as she flew from the Malik Majid previously from Upper Pepper Street